Well, a man desperately wanted to attend the Super Bowl, so he called a ticket dealer and bought the last available ticket for $5,000. So now he's sitting at the Super Bowl, and he looks to his right, but he can't believe it. There's an empty seat next to him. So he turns to the fellow on the other side of that seat and says, "Excuse me, sir, do you know whose seat this was?" The man said, "Well, that was my wife's seat, but unfortunately, she passed away and could not be here today." The fellow offered his condolences and said, "Well, couldn't you have found a family member or relative to take that seat?" And the husband said, "I tried, but they're all at the funeral." So enjoy watching the game tonight. Father Barquette is very smart. He always gives himself the early masses on the Super Bowl Sunday. He gives the 5 o'clock to Father Nicholas. So. Today's gospel is about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's a beautiful expression, the salt of the earth. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Oh, that person is the salt of the earth"? It's a great compliment. But the focus, though, today would be on this other quotation from the Lord. He tells his disciples, and really all of us, that we're called to be the light of the world. Now, the whole theme of light is very important in Scripture. Remember when God created the heavens, he said, "Let there be light." And we know that Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world." And we see this, if you've ever attended the Easter Vigil Mass, which is really the Super Bowl of liturgies, is the Easter Vigil, because it is the greatest and most important liturgy of the entire year, the Easter Vigil, which begins in darkness, complete darkness. And we have the lighting of the Easter fire, the lighting of the Paschal candle, and then the priest or deacon carries in that candle, that one flame which represents Christ, the light of the world. And then everybody holds their own candles, and then from the Easter candle, the Paschal candle, the Christ candle, we light our candles. And that light spreads, and pretty soon the whole church is filled with light. Each of us has a candle. And notice when, if you have your candle lit, you pass it on to another person, your light is not diminished, but the light continues to grow and spread. And that's what evangelization is all about. That's what sharing the faith is all about. We receive the gift of the light of Christ at our baptism. On the day of our baptism, we as babies were too young to profess our own faith or hold our own baptismal candle, but it was our parents and godparents that held that candle for us. And that candle flame does represent the light of faith passed on to us at our baptism. And Jesus says that we must not keep the light of Christ to ourselves. He says we must let our light shine before others. Notice in the first reading we have that same theme from Isaiah. He says, "If you share your bread with the hungry and shelter the oppressed and the homeless, if you help to clothe the naked and not to turn your back on your own, then," Isaiah says, "your light will break forth like the dawn, and your own wound shall quickly be healed." Isn't that the case, that the best thing we can do if we're struggling is to help somebody else? Our own wounds are healed if we help other people. And Isaiah goes on to say, "If you bestow bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall arise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday." So again, that's what we're called to do, is to share the light of Christ with others. And in fact, Jesus even says, our light must shine before others. It's not an option. We have to bring the light of Christ to others. It says, so that they may see your good deeds and not glorify you. It says, glorify your heavenly Father. So when we do good deeds, works of mercy, for example, we're not doing it to glorify ourselves. When people see these works of mercy, they glorify God. And of course, it's good to remind ourselves about these corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Last year was the year of mercy, but that was not to be the end of mercy, it's just to be the beginning for the church to continue doing works of mercy until Jesus comes again at the second coming. Again, what are those works of mercy that we can do to let our light shine before others? We can help feed the hungry. We can give drink to the thirsty and clothe the naked, shelter the homeless. As you know, a week or two ago, we had the hypothermia week here where we sheltered the homeless during that week, and all the churches in this area take turns sheltering the homeless. That is how our light shines before others, by visiting the sick, the hospitals and nursing homes, those that are homebound. We take communion to them if they cannot come to us, to visit the imprisoned, to bury the dead. And then there's also the spiritual works of mercy, which help take care of the person's soul, to help convert the sinner, to instruct the ignorant. Like when you teach religious education, you're passing on the faith to instruct the uninformed, to help counsel the doubtful when people struggle or have doubts of their faith. When you encourage them, you're doing a spiritual work of mercy, to comfort the sorrowful, to bear wrongs patiently, to forgive injuries. These are all spiritual works of mercy that can help our light shine before others, and to pray for the living and the dead. So as we continue with the Mass now, remember that one sentence from today's Gospel, that you are the light of the world, and that your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds, these works of mercy, and glorify your Heavenly Father.